Hallelujah. So you have to have it. When love is really working in you, there's a desire to obey God. There's a desire to do the will of God. Psalm 143 says, teach me to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. How many want God to teach you to do his will? See, that's how you know when you're walking in love, is that you want to obey God. And so the more you obey God, the more that love is going to be brought to completion in you. The more things that are missing from your life are going to be added. The more you obey the word, your obedience causes things to be added, not subtracted. Hallelujah. Every time you obey God, you just get something added to you. Something added to your character. Glory to God. Oh, my God. Something added to your account. Something added to your soulless area. Something added to your spirit, your inner man. And even something added to your physical man that might be missing. Because the scripture says that the word is medicine to all our flesh. When I start walking in love, all that power that's in that word begin to work in my spirit, my soul, and my body. I can get healed just by walking in obedience. Because when I'm walking in love, then God has total liberty to bring to pass his will in my life, which we know his will is good, right? His will is blessing. His will is life. His will is joy. His will is strength. And when you're walking in the love of God, then God is able to do in you what he desires to do. And you're the beneficiary of all that grace and all of that glory. Hallelujah. See, listen to it again. Let me read it in the King James, because I want you to see it. All right, look at verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, right? Whoever keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God what? Perfected. So the more I obey God, the more things are going to be added to my spirit, the stronger my love walk is going to be. The greater my desire is going to be for God. Amen? Everybody say, I delight to do the will of God. Oh, God. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Psalm 25, turn over there real quick. Psalms 25. Listen to this right here. Boy, I wish we had time to read the whole thing. Verse 4 says this, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 40, we have them quoting Jesus. These actually are the words of Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to get to a place, if you want to be perfected in love, you have to get to a place where you literally love the word of God, where you begin to pray prayers like that, and you begin to ask God, Lord, order my steps in your word. Hallelujah. Teach me to obey your word. Teach me to do your will. You got to have that working in you. And when that's working in you, I'm going to tell you, you're on your way to being perfected in love. I mean, having things added that's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the love of God in and of itself is complete, but sometimes what we have missing is our understanding of how to apply it and how to use it, because the love of God is in us. That's what I mean by that. Just wanted to clarify that. The love of God ain't nothing missing in it. It's our understanding, our ability to understand how to live in it and walk in it and to trust in it is what's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You trust in the love of God. Do you, when you have an option, a choice, to go love's route or to go the flesh route, do you lean toward love? Even though love may seem like you're losing, that's why you got to trust. I'm not going to lose walking in love. Glory to God. The NIV says this, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. He said, this is one of the ways that we know him. Because when we obey his word, his love, something starts happening in your love walk. Turn over to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Lord, work in me. Hallelujah. I desire and I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. All right, look at John 14. Look at let's go back up to verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Sound like doing the word, right? He it is that what? Loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? Loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to him. So Jesus said, if you keep my word, I'm going to reveal myself to you. In other words, you'll be seeing Jesus when nobody else can see him. Everybody's like, where he at? What do he look like? Show him to me. No, you can't see him with natural eyes. People want to see in the flesh. No, your spiritual eyes get open. He begins to reveal himself, make himself known to you when you obey his word. And when he begins to make himself known to you, that means you start learning his ways. Right? If you hang out with me, you're going to know me, right? You're going to start learning about me. You'll start knowing how I do things. You'll start learning how I think, how I see things. You'll start learning my decision-making process. How does Pastor Greg make decisions? Well, you won't know that unless you've been hanging around me. You won't know what I like and dislike unless you've been with me. Somebody I never met before, I can't tell you nothing about them. But if I spend time with them, then I'm going to start learning some things about them, how they do things. And because this is Jesus talking here, he said, I'm going to love him and I'm going to reveal myself to the person that keeps my word. In fact, it is not the lip service. It is not the lip service, I love you, that counts. How many know everybody on Sunday morning say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. They mind ain't a bit more on Jesus. They mind ain't nowhere on Jesus. They're thinking about fishing. They think about hunting. They think about the football game. This, you know, the Saints going to be on at 1 o'clock. Who, Pastor, don't take us into the first quarter? I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you going to get out of that? Jesus said, he said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me, that's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He gonna look at how you live and how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm gonna say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the programs, you got everything. You don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you tell me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, he wanted to know, he said, how you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man love me, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, you got that thing. Everybody show your love for something. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do. How to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected. so that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word. Keeping that word. Having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the love walk.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms, number 116, and I just want to lift out verse 10 for our reading. Psalm 116 and verse 10. And it simply reads, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I won't talk about faith. And what follows? Faith. And what follows? My brothers and sisters, when we listen at David here as he speaks about his system of belief in the things of God, in the word of God, in the promises of God, there are some things that I hope will become clear to you in the preaching of this word today. Because there are, in this one verse, three things that I want to highlight and spotlight for you. But this is the text that we're launching from, but we're going to walk back through the context and see what is all a part of this declaration. I believed, therefore have I spoken. And then he says, I was greatly afflicted. Well, let's look at what he believed. Let's back up, if you don't mind, to verse 1, and he'll tell you. He says, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now look at what he says. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found what? Trouble and sorrow. Now, he didn't say trouble and sorrow found me.
He said, I found trouble and sorrow. Can I just throw this out parenthetically? You know, a whole lot of us think the devil put a lot of stuff on us, but I got to tell you, some of the stuff we put on ourselves. Some of the stuff that we deal with, we produce our own problems and manufacture our own miseries. And we like to blame them on the devil. But there are some things we are responsible for. He found trouble and sorrow. This is his words. Verse 4 says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Now look at verse 5. It says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Now he's saying this because he found trouble and sorrow, which meant here again, it wasn't that he was necessarily in the right position, but he had done some things. Listen, when you require mercy, that's much to do with what you've messed up. Did you hear what I just said? When you're calling for mercy, you know, when people in, especially in the olden days, when they say, I plead for the mercy of the court. Yeah. Well, you ain't got to plead for the mercy of the court unless you done something that requires mercy. Meaning that, again, you don't deserve it, but you're hoping there is a compassionate spot where they would give you another chance. So mercy is 9 out of 10 times associated with the stuff that you create, with the problems that you produce, with the misery that you manufacture. So notice here again, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Listen, the Lord preserveth the simple, the plain. I was brought low and he helped me. Anybody ever, listen, he was brought low. It wasn't a decision on his own. Circumstances, bad decisions, bad company, wrong turns. Has that ever happened to anybody where it caused you to go down lower than you were, brought you to a place of lower degree? Have you ever made some decisions that brought you to a lower financial place? Have you ever made some decisions that brought you to another level or standard of living? Have you ever made some decision by connecting with the wrong person? Instead of your life being enhanced, it was messed up? I'm just trying to figure out whatever area it's in, have you ever been brought down low? Well, it had something to do with the decisions you made, the choices you made, the paths you went down, and that caused you to be brought low. Isn't that what he says now? Because again, he's speaking to many of our situations. The Bible says, and when I was down low, he helped me. Now look at what verse 7 says. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now I love this part now because what he said, even though I messed up and I called on the name of the Lord, and right in my mess up, he reached down and picked me up. He restored me. He put me back in a place I didn't deserve to be back in. So he's talking to his soul and says, you go back to your place of rest, of trust in God, because God has proven himself faithful. Has the Lord ever proven himself faithful in your life over and over and over again? Hallelujah. Listen at this word again. So he says, verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now that's about as low as you can go. Listen at this. But he didn't just stop from delivering his soul from death. He said, mine eyes from tears. I mean, when you've been delivered, you can serve notice on the devil. I have cried my last tears over this mess. I might have to cry over some new mess, but I done cried my last tears over this mess right here. Listen at this. And then he says, not only has he delivered me and my soul from death and mine eyes from tears, but he also delivered my feet from falling. He has strengthened my ankles and he has turned the direction of my feet from the wrong path to the right path. And because I used to be in the wrong direction, headed down the wrong road, when he delivered me, he turned me around.
started me in a new direction. And the way I used to go, I'm not going that way no more. So if you see me and I acting the same, it's because I've got a new agenda and it's taking me in a new direction. So tell your old friends, don't get mad with me. Don't hate on me. Congratulate me. Because God is doing a new thing in me. I wish I had somebody here. Now you got to watch something, because they got some old friends who don't want you to get in a new place. Because misery. Listen. I haven't even gotten to my preaching points yet. Listen. So then he says in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes, sir.
Personally, I can't speak for you and nobody else, but since he delivered me, he's at least got one witness. And you know, it amazes me when folk who's been blessed by the Lord, been delivered by the Lord, get around some folk who ain't been yet. They act like they can't open up their mouths and give God the praise and glory. Listen, I don't care if you were in a congregation of devils. If you're the only saint, you ought to say so. If you've been redeemed, the Bible says you ought to say so, because they didn't deliver you. God delivered you. And if they perhaps would see somebody who's delivered, maybe they may want to be just like you, as you are like the Lord. Listen to what he says. I will walk before the Lord. That means a lifestyle. I will live a lifestyle in the presence of God and man while I still have a chance in the land of the living. See, you know, God wants you to be an example to him, and it's easy for us to be an example for him in the church house because we have a limited presentational opportunity. But where you really have unlimited opportunities is in the land of the living. The land of the living, out there in the world where people see you and people that you don't even know are watching you. In your home, on your job, in the schools, driving your car. Somebody pulls in front of you. Going too slow. You in a hurry. I mean, whatever the issue is, I mean, that's where you have an opportunity to be the witness in the land of the living. And so he says, I'm going to, in essence, be a witness for the Lord in the land of the living. Everywhere I go, I'll let folk know I've been delivered and who it was who delivered me. Now look at this. That's why he gets to verse 10 and says, I believed. Why is that so important? Because the first thing that we deal with in this verse now is belief. Belief. Why is believing so important? Notice he said, I believed, a settled, non-negotiable conviction. It is cemented. It ain't changing. I believed. It's a finished and a processed reality. There's nothing the enemy and no one else can do to change my mind. I believed. I don't have to process that no more. God has proven himself to me. There are no more questions anymore. I believed. Now, he's not saying I believe in present tense and or future tense, because what he's literally saying is, from all of the experiences that God has shown me and that I've come through, I believe everything that God says, period. Past, present, and future. If he has said it, I have already attached my amen to it. That means so be it or be it so. When you say amen, you're saying so be it or be it so. So you got to be careful what you put your amen to. Some of the old saints understood that when the preacher was a slight bit off, they wouldn't say amen. They'd say, well. And
And when he started working himself back on schedule, they said, all right, preacher. Amen. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand this. When he talks again about belief, he believes that every word of God is pure.
Yes, sir.
He believes that God's word is settled in heaven forever.
Yes.
Now, if you believe that every word of God is pure, and if you believe every word of God is settled, established in heaven, then my question to you is, what is there to process beyond that point? Because if he cannot lie, because he's not a man, and because he says what he means and he means what he says, why then do you have to second guess him? It ought to be a non-negotiable, non-discussable, and non-debatable belief in God. If God's word says it, I believe it unquestionably. And that's the stance that the writer takes. I believed. Listen to this. But there's importance in this belief, because when you really believe something, it affects your, point two, behavior. See, when you really believe something, then the something or the substance of your belief begins to show up in your behavior. If you believe the truth, you start operating in the truth. If you believe it's a lie, you do just the opposite of it. Your belief system dictates your behavioral responses. And a whole lot of people don't understand. He says, I believed, and because I believed, therefore have I spoken. My behavior was affected by my belief. Now, what ways were they affected? They were affected in three areas. The first way it was an effect upon him in his belief system, non-negotiable, non-discussable, and non-debatable, was in his word. You see, once you believe something, you begin to speak that. You begin to speak it. Words are powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And your destiny will be guided and driven by what you say and what you believe. And what you say is a byproduct of what you believe. That's why you've got to be careful. If you really believe the truth, stop speaking a lie.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. If God said it and you believe it, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the devil is showing you. I don't care what your body is acting like. You stand on the word and speak what the word says. I don't care if you have a headache or stomach ache. I don't care if there's cancer and diabetes in your body. I don't care what the issue is in your life. If God has said you are more than a conqueror, you start speaking it into existence. You see, you got to speak it to your body, believe like you believe. You got to speak it to your situation, believes like you believe. You got to speak it until it turns around and not causes you to turn around. And that's why if you believe what God said, just keep saying what he said. Just keep saying, I don't care what. Yeah, but it looked like you're down. But he says, I'm more than a conqueror. He says, I'm on top and not the bottom. And if you're on the bottom long, that's where your physical condition and your natural position may be presently. But that's not the end of the situation. So where you are, where you sit, is not where you have to stay.
All right. Yes, sir.
So you start speaking to where you're on your way to, not what you are in. See, because every time your situation hears you affirm where you are, then the grip gets stronger. But when you begin to speak deliverance, and when you begin to speak blessings, and when you begin to speak what God has said, everything starts to line up. Here's what you need to understand. When you believe what you say, and then you say what you believe, when there is a one accordness in you with both your mind and your spirit, then your mouth will join in. And when your mouth joins in, everything else has got to line up. Because you believe it and you speak it. Got to release it, got to release it, got to release it. I am what God says I am. I am healed.